answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, couple coming, carrying a baby. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, as I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Nestled in her arms, Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart. Salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Time to take him in your arms.
Take him in your arms.
Your life will never come to an end. He's the only way that you'll find peace. He'll give you salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people.
Thank you, Brian and Brandon and Leslie. That was just beautiful. And I don't know about you guys, but I have so enjoyed these first carols of Christmas. Have you not? I mean, it has been just wonderful. And who would have thunk all of that was in Luke's gospel? Four special carols of Christmas that we often don't hear, but we got a chance to hear this season. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year, and one of my favorite responsibilities as a pastor is dedicating little ones in worship. And so next service, we're going to be dedicating little Adeline Manley, Sarah's and Daryl's little sweet little baby. And it's a special day because it's not only the last Sunday in 2018, but today is the first anniversary of Daryl and Sarah's wedding. And so this is the third, she's 3 months old today. So there's a lot of wonderful things to remember this day. It is the first spiritual milestone in her life. One of many ways that I know that her parents and grandparents, and if any of y'all are on Facebook, you know that they love to take pictures of Adeline. So I am sure there'll be plenty of pictures from today that they will have to share this memory with her as she grows up. Now, in Luke's gospel, we don't have pictures from that time, but we do have little snippets, right, about these kinds of milestones in Jesus's life. One of them is his circumcision, and it is recorded in only one verse of Scripture in chapter 2, verse 21. We are told that Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day in the keeping of the tradition that goes all the way back to Abraham. This rite of circumcision marked Israel as God's special and chosen people. But there's another moment that is 40 days after the birth when Mary and Joseph go back to the temple to present their baby. And it is at this milestone that we learn that Simeon meets the Christ child. And as we prepare to unpack a little bit more from the rich story that is before us, I want to invite you to join me now in prayer. Living and loving God, we give you our thanks today for this special day. Special day in the life of the church as we dedicate a child for you. A special day in our lives as we are wrapping up a year in life with you and with one another. A special day in which we are reminded that the Christ child has come to live among us to give us light and hope and peace. And we pray, oh God, that as we continue to reflect upon these words of Scripture, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, oh God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 40 days into his young life, they take Jesus into the temple, and actually two things are happening on this same day. First, Mary is bringing an offering for her rite of purification. According to Leviticus 12, after giving birth to a child, a woman is ritually unclean for a specified period of time, depending on the gender of the infant. Interestingly enough, if she had born a baby girl, her time of purification would have been twice as long as for a boy. Go figure. But having said that, according to Leviticus chapter 12, at the end of that time, the law requires her to come to the temple and to bring an offering, after which she is declared purified and ritually clean again. So that's one thing that's going on. Secondly, we are told that they come to the temple for the presentation of the child. Now, this ritual is specifically for firstborn males. The presentation is made in the temple by the parents, and they are to make an offering because it is understood that the firstborn male belonged to God. According to the law, the firstborn son was to serve in the temple with his life. At some point, he would be required to come back and to serve the people of God and God in the temple. Child wasn't expected to go back and to be with his family in the family business. He was dedicated to service to God. And that was the offering that they were bringing, this presentation of the firstborn male. However, there was an option, an opportunity for the family to buy back their son. That's the 5 shekels that y'all were talking about in that song. And so they would come and they would present their offering, and the Lord would forgive the debt of the service of that child. So this is what's happening in our text today. Mary and Joseph come to bring an offering so that they might claim Jesus as their child. Now, the irony of this should not be lost on us, right? Jesus, God's own son, is being bought back by Mary and Joseph. Jesus, who will spend his whole life anyway serving God and the people. Jesus, who actually presents himself in the temple as an offering for all people to buy back our freedom. And so they go and they present this child according to the law. And it is during this visit to the temple that they run across a man named Simeon. Now, Simeon is someone you might not know much about or anything about because he's only mentioned in this very, very short passage of Scripture. But here's what we do know about Simeon. He is advanced in age. We know that he has been waiting for his whole life to see the Christ child. And we also know that his life is described by two words, righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. Now, if my life were to be summed up by those two words, I think I'd take them. How about you? Righteous and devout. Righteous meaning good and virtuous and upright and decent. Devout meaning devoted and dedicated and a religious lover of God. Those two words would be good ones to have on one's obituary or their gravestone. We also know that Simeon has been told by the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he sees the consolation of Israel, which means that God has promised that he will have the honor of meeting the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel, the Savior of the world. And so Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation meaning the comfort of Israel. This phrase comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended and that her iniquity has been removed and she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The passage goes on to tell of this one who will come and offer that comfort. One who will come and be the consolation of Israel. One who will bring them freedom. Who will bring them hope and promise and peace like they never experienced before. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus. This is the one that they've been waiting for. Now, I wonder, can you identify in any way with Simeon? I mean, has there been anything in your life that you've longed for, that you've waited for, that you thought if you could just only see it or maybe have it, that you'd have peace and fulfillment like nothing else could bring to you? This is the experience that Simeon is having that day. He's been waiting for a long, long time, desperately, expectantly, excitedly. What have you been waiting for? Maybe it's the perfect job. Or maybe it's some kind of an achievement. Maybe you've been waiting for a relationship, one that doesn't exist right now, but you've been longing for. Or perhaps a relationship now that has pain and brokenness in it, and your hope, your longing is for the reconciliation one day to come. Is there something that is the deep desire of your heart? Simeon's desire is to see the Messiah. And so it is with great desire that when he sees him, Simeon cries out, "Yes, this is what I've been waiting for." In fact, he says, "Now I can die. I can rest in peace." Now, this passage is called the Nunc Dimittis. The Nunc Dimittis. It's a Latin phrase that means now dismiss. Now that I have seen your promise, O God, you can now dismiss me. I can now go in peace. Let me ask you, is there something that has such weight, such consequence for you, that you could say, Nunc Dimittis? Now, one thing we need to remember, this isn't 30-year-old Jesus that Simeon meets in the temple that day, right? This isn't Jesus teaching and healing with power. This isn't Jesus turning water into wine or doing miracles of healing or commanding the wind and the waves to cease. No, this is an infant. This is a little baby boy. But Simeon looks into his face and he gets a glimpse of what is to come. He can see it and he knows it. You know, parents often get a glimpse of something of their child's future, right? Daryl and Sarah, I know, have already begun to imagine, look into Addie's face and imagine what her future is going to hold. They've maybe imagining what her personality will be like as she gets older. They may be wondering who she will love and what her future is going to be like and how she will make her mark on the world. This is something that all parents, I think, hold in common. And when Simeon looks at this infant Jesus, he has this idea of what is to come. He knows because he's been told. He's been foretold that this child is one who will be a descendant of David, who will be born in Bethlehem. This is a child who will grow up to be a great teacher and a healer. He knows that Jesus is going to be loved for a while, but he also knows that he's going to be rejected, that he will die for the people he loves. And Simeon knows that this death will forever change the world because it will allow all people the opportunity to know God. This is what Simeon sees as he holds this baby in his arms that day in the temple. And it causes him to well up and to proclaim those words that you just heard beautifully sung a few moments ago. Master, you are now dismissing your prophet, your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Simeon declares that not only will the nation of Israel be saved through this Messiah, but Gentiles, non-Jews as well, that all people will be able to see the light. The proclamation of Jesus as light is very important to us. You know that if you were with us on Christmas Eve, right? I mean, as we lit the candles, it's been important to Christians throughout history to understand that God is light, that Jesus shines that light as he lived on this earth. And that passing of the candlelight proclaims an important truth. It proclaims that this infant boy, squirmy and screaming, tiny and tender, is everything that we could ever hope for. And he's better than anything we could ever desire because he will be light in our darkness. He is worth saying, nunc dimittis. He is worth seeing and knowing and saying, I can rest in peace now, for the light has come, the light that overcomes the darkness. Have you ever experienced deep darkness? As some of you know, Ron and I are scuba divers, and that's a picture. It's not the best picture in the world, but I wanted to prove to you I did it. And I think the coolest, this picture was taken right before I went down into the water for the very first time, and I think that was probably the coolest experience I've ever had in my life, to be able to see the beauty that is under the water, the light and the color and the sea life. And I could stay down there and I could enjoy that while I breathed air under the water through a regulator. We did a lot of diving when we were in Florida, and I loved it. But one time, there was an experience that definitely was not so cool. We were on a week-long diving trip in the Bahamas, and every day we had all kinds of different diving experiences. We tried to I think we had 3 a day. So we did probably around 18 dives over that period of time. One of those was a night dive. Now, in a night dive, you have to sink a bit before you can turn on your flashlight so that you won't attract jellyfish to you, okay? So you have to go down a little bit of distance. Everybody has a buddy. Of course, my buddy was Ron Diamond, and as with all diving experiences, one of the cardinal rules is that you stay close to your buddy at all times. You don't leave your buddy. Well, as things turned out, Ron got in the water first and was so excited by the experience, he swam a little distance. It wasn't too far, just a few yards away, but far enough that by the time I got under the water and got to that level I needed to be, I couldn't find him. I couldn't see him. I was alone in that inky black water. And it was terrifying. I had a little flashlight. I turned it on, but it didn't do too much for me. So finally, I just I was overcome by this feeling of fear, so I just went back up to the top of the water and waited for Ron to get there. He came to find out what was wrong, and I just said, well, you are my buddy, and you left me. So I'm not going back down under that water unless you hold my hand, you stay right there with me, and we can both turn on our flashlights together. So that's what we did. And as you can see, things were a little bit better. I would not probably do a night dive ever again, but it was better when we came together and we shined the light together. Utter darkness. I wonder if you've ever experienced that kind of feeling in your life. Maybe not in the water, but in a situation where you felt like you were sinking in darkness, that you were utterly alone. You had no idea what you might encounter or who might find you. And then there's this moment of hope when someone comes alongside of you and turns on the lights. And you breathe deep and you experience peace. Every Christmas Eve, this is what we are trying to capture. This was a picture from last week. To recognize that the light of Christ comes during the time of deep darkness, that he is a bright light that shines. The prophet Isaiah foretold of this when he wrote these words: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On them, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. God promised that a light would come into this darkness, and Simeon believed it. He held on to that hope his entire life. God promised him that he would not die until he saw that light, and he did. And so what did Simeon do in response? He worshiped. He sang a song of praise to God, and he experienced a peace that passes all understanding, a peace so profound that he could say, "Nunc dimittis." Now you can dismiss me. Now I can go in peace to my eternal home, for I have seen your salvation. Here's my question for you. Have you seen that light for yourself? Have you experienced that salvation? Jesus came into our world to give us hope and comfort and the assurance that we are never, ever, ever alone, that God through Jesus came to be with us, alongside us, lighting the way to the path that leads to peace. He came to give that salvation not only to his own people, the Jews, but to all of us who would receive the gift of God's gracious love. And so, as we prepare for a new year, will you open yourself once again, or perhaps for the very first time, to this gift? The light has come to show us a different way, the way to find peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, and peace within ourselves. For this Christ came, for this we offer our thanks, and for this the people of God said, amen and amen.